episode 168.
Late Night Internet Marketing.
This week on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast, we follow up on copywriting. I've got Rusty Rile in the house. He's not just a former Major League Baseball player. He's also an awesome copywriter that's been trained by some of the best, including my friend Ray Edwards. We're going to talk about how he got into copywriting and, more importantly, what tips he has for you with regard to copywriting. All this and more on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
The Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
You've been working for somebody else, but you want a business to run yourself. You want to know how to start and where to begin. Can you get out your comfort zone, my friend? Yes, you can do it right when it's late at night. At the end of the day, your dreams burning inside. So keep it up and you will find that you're building your business one night at a time.
And now, broadcasting late at night from a little studio in the big state of Texas, your host, Mark Mason.
All right. How is everybody doing? This is your host, Mark Mason. I am coming to you from the little studio in Dallas, Texas. Everything is totally groovy here. And a little known fact that it may not surprise you is that during the jingle, while I'm waiting for the jingle to finish, I play air drums. That's true. And I don't really know how to play drums, so I bet it looks really stupid. And that's one of the many reasons that I do audio instead of video. I hope you have had a fantastic week. You know, last week we talked about my 10 tips for you amateur copywriters. If you want to write better copy, I gave you 10 tips. I even gave you an 11th bonus tip. And if you didn't get to hear that, you can go back to episode 167 and check that out. And then I thought, you know, what better thing to do than to bring a professional copywriter on the show and have him talk about copywriting. And I got an unexpected bonus. So Rusty Rile is here today. He's a good friend of mine, really neat guy, former Major League Baseball player, which is what attracted me to him initially the very first time that I met him. We got to talking about baseball. Then I find out Rusty's actually an outstanding copywriter. And also we have a friend in common, Ray Edwards. And so it turns out Rusty's a really good copywriter and was happy to come on the show and talk about copywriting, and makes an amazing offer to the first few of you that are willing to take it for some free copywriting feedback. Now, that's going to be at the very end of the show. So if you want to understand about that, you got to listen all the way through. Rusty's going to talk to you about something he will do for you absolutely for free with no strings attached, nothing to sell. That was an incredibly generous offer. But the other thing that happened in this interview, and why it's a little longer than maybe some of my normal interviews, is that Rusty goes through his story about how he got into the business, how he made his transition from baseball into copywriting, and that origin story. And I want you to listen to that very closely. And what I want you to listen for in that segment of the interview is about Rusty not being afraid to try stuff, about Rusty not being afraid to go learn stuff from other people, about Rusty going to live events to learn stuff, and about Rusty getting out there and going and getting business. And I think it's really fascinating to see that transformation. That is a roadmap for you guys that are trying to transition into internet business. You need to listen to that part of the interview with that ear on. That's not Rusty's story. It is Rusty's story, but really what that's about is your story and what you can do and what you can learn about your particular business. Then he'll talk to you about copywriting. It's a fantastic interview, and I'm going to leave it with you right now.
Hey, don't touch that dial. It's time for another fantastic guest on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
Rusty, I am so excited to have you on the show. You are absolutely my very first and only Major League Baseball player on the show. Welcome.
That was an awesome introduction, and I'm actually taken back because it's the first time anyone's ever introduced me like that. But I can tell you right now, after meeting you for the first time at Cliff Ravenscraft's event, Free the Dream Live, I'm super stoked to be here and ready to rock this thing.
So from Major League Baseball to copywriting, tell us a little bit about what's going on with you. I know people come to me, Cliff Ravenscraft, Ray Edwards, they tell me about this Rusty guy, the great copy that you're writing. I know you've done some stuff for the Ziegler guys. Tell me what's going on with you, and what are you doing with copywriting, and what is it? What's your philosophy about it?
So I got into copywriting after I retired from baseball, and you know, I was kind of on the cusp of making a ton of money where I wouldn't have to do work until I was like 50 if I didn't want to. But I also took most of my money and warehoused that and let it grow. And in the meantime, you know, I got married, and my wife got laid off of her job. And so now we've got kids and no insurance. So, you know, former Major League Baseball player, get off your butt, go get a real job, right? Because
right.
What am I going to do till I'm 60 and, you know, draw, you know, the pension that I do have coming? That was just the reality of it. And I didn't want to get into baseball because my family, I didn't want to take them through the minor league experience of potentially being one of the 30 hitting coaches or managers. And it wasn't a self-doubt thing. I just didn't want to go through that again. I'd already done it. I'd already accomplished that. And in the long run, you know, what I chose to do was to go out and get a sales job. All my friends, you know, after retiring and even in the off season, like, dude, you should be in sales. And I'm like, okay, why? Well, apparently I always talk them into doing things or trying to get this great idea of, hey, we should go golf here, or let's take this trip here. And
I you're persuasive, right? You're persuasive.
Was just automatically, I guess, in my genes. And, you know, once I jumped into the real world, which is a whole nother podcast about pivoting out of Major League Baseball or professional sports in general, I didn't know what I was doing. I was beyond it. I mean, what is a application? I have a baseball card. Will that work?
Right. You know, stats are on the back, right?
Work experience. Okay. Major League Baseball. Does that help you? So I jumped into a few sales jobs that I had some connections with, and I didn't like it. But what I had to do was learn how to, because to be effective and provide for the time being, whether it was just for insurance or whatever, I mean, I had to keep my job, and to do that, you got to sell. And one thing that I caught on to pretty quick was, a lot of this stuff is relationship business, and match with a little persuasion and some street smarts, you can go a long way. You don't have to be a trickster, but just, you know, carry an attitude that people can trust you. And I started to get, you know, bounce around a few sales jobs to kind of figure out where I'm at. And one job I had, I sold from the front of the room to civil engineers. Now, you can probably relate with that.
Yeah, sure.
They're not real easy to sell. One, two, to get them to change their minds, and three, to get them to laugh.
Right. They're serious, skeptical, and they need data.
Yeah. I mean, they're only like listed as like the number three of all analytical people in the world, right?
Right.
Next to doctors and everyone else that are super analytical. So persuasion and getting them to actually take action to what you were going to want them to do, which was specify my products and make more sales, wasn't easy. So I had to come up with a nifty story to do that. And in the midst of selling from the front of the room or presenting a keynote, I discovered StoryBrand. And once I started getting into StoryBrand, I understood copywriting and what's this copywriting. And then my wife one night she was starting her business, and you know, she was complaining about this this message she was trying to write. And I said, give me that thing. And I started applying some of the things I was hearing Don Miller talk about on the podcast. One thing led to another, and I ended up writing this message for her PDF or her opt-in, which I didn't know what the heck that was at the time. And little did I know, we had bought the StoryBrand course, and she was going to submit this to this guy named Ray Edwards, who was going to critique this copy. And the copy that I wrote got tweaked a lot. If my wife listens to this, sorry, honey. But she's put her tweaks on it, which I have the same issue with clients all the time. So this isn't anything new. And she submits it. And the feedback was from Ray. And for those of you who don't know Ray, he's like the greatest living copywriter slash person in the world right now.
Yeah. And he's been on the show, actually.
Oh, that's now major leagues of podcasting.
There you go.
Guest. And he said, you know, this is a really good copy, but it's bland. And I was like, wait, what does that mean? Really good copy, but it's bland. So my wife gave me that recording. She's like, he loved your copy, but he said it was bland. And then he kind of touched on what was bland. That was totally her part. So what's this copywriting and how does it go with story branding and all this stuff? And I started listening to this Ray Edwards podcast, and I'm in my gym at home working out at like 5:30 in the morning, listening to this podcast. And I'm in this job I don't really like a lot, but Ray comes on and he talks about the story where he's in Alaska and he's reading a copywriting book written by Bob Bly, a famous copywriter.
Who I've met. I met Bob Bly.
I haven't met him yet.
He's awesome.
And he tells a story about how he's introduced to copywriting and he slaps the book on the table and says, well, I can do that. And voila, you know, a few years later, he's one of the best copywriters in the world, writing for Tony Robbins and, you know, Jack Canfield and all these superstars of direct response selling. And, well, here I am. I'm the pro baseball player, right? And I'm in a job I don't really like, but yet, you know what? I wouldn't mind a side hustle at the time. And maybe I can even use this to sell more and make my job easier. Who knows? So I start listening to more podcasts, and at the moment, something clicked in my mind. I'm like, well, I can do that. If he can do it, I can do it. And then it was affirmed later in a podcast that Ray did where he talks about this movie, which I love, called The Edge. And he talks about a saying in there where Anthony Hopkins tells one of the bald ones, I can't remember his name, is it Alec? I think it's Alec. And he says, what one man can do, any man can do. And then it just started to click, like, I want to do this. Like, I can make some money at it. At the same time, I also hopped into the story brand and copywriting world to help my wife develop her message with her business because, I mean, obviously I wanted to grow that for her. And it was kind of like a perfect marriage at the time. I can make some money at this and kind of see where it leads. But at the same time, I can also help someone I love and care about support her way back to building income and doing the things she loves, which is helping people with their health. One thing leads to the next. I hitch my wagon to Ray Edwards, and he has just kind of taken me under his wing. I've been in his apprenticeship for about four and a half years now. We've become good friends. I'm writing some copy for him for a couple of projects. And one of his pieces of advice to me was, you know, you need to start going to these live events, which is where I met you. Which is where I presented Cliff with some copy, which then led me to him using my copy. And later on, I went to another event, LaunchCon, down in Florida, where I was able to actually meet some people that are looking for copywriters. One thing leads to the next, and a young lady named Melanie, who works with the Ziegler family and Mark Tim, we talked, and she said, my clients are always looking for copywriters. And next thing I know, I'm getting an email from one of Mark Tim's team members. Hey, we'd like to talk to you. Melanie gave us reviews about how well you were at the event and kind of the relationship you built. and we'd like to see some copy, and here's what we got. And we were off and running. They did a launch for Secrets of Selling Success 2, which is kind of a spinoff of Secrets of Closing the Sale.
Yeah, nice.
And I, you know, I knew who Zig Ziglar was. People are quoting him all the time. I had read some stuff of his, but I wasn't, you know, I was in the baseball world for a long time. It's really hard to get me on some woo-woo stuff.
Right,
it's
sure.
Like, you know, if you strike out, go hang your hat up. You know, don't throw your helmet too many times. You're going to have another game tomorrow. Hey, there's no crying in baseball. Suck it up. You know, don't wear your emotion on your sleeve. There's no rah-rah in baseball. You know, it's so prestige and calm. There's no cheerleaders, you know. So the whole mindset, which I wish I knew about back then because it probably would have helped me a lot, was never really a thing to me. And getting to write for it, as I've been drawn to coaches because I've had so many in my life, it was a perfect seg to that. And my selling background, as my transition out of baseball, was perfect for it. And Mark and I have grown to communicate a little bit, and I'm sure they're going to have me do some stuff coming up for them. But that is kind of where I'm going right now. It's helping people launch their products, whether it be sales pages, whether it's you know, video sales letters, emails to help conversions and create that direct response aspect within your email list. I cover everything that you could possibly think of inside of a product launch. What I do not do is anything outside of direct response. And for those of you that may be unfamiliar with what direct response is, it's basically copywriting, which are using words to sell or salesmanship in print, and getting someone to take action towards something, whether it's click a button, whether it's leave a comment, whether it's to go click this link and go to this page or this website or give them an email. That's my expertise, and that's what I really love to do, because that is the one major factor, I believe, that helps people online and offline grow their business the best.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I know that from talking to people for years about copy, that it's intimidating for people who don't have training. Try and understand, we all are writing copy, whether we're writing copy for a solo ad or we're writing copy for in a web page to get a conversion to click a link, or whether we're writing long sales form copy. We're all trying to write copy, and some of us are doing it very poorly. Some people, like you, start out with a more natural flair. But my question for you is, if you had, you know, if you were trapped in an elevator with someone and you had a few minutes to tell them the three most important ideas about copy, the things to keep in mind whenever they were writing copy, or, you know, the things that everybody needs to know about copy, are there three things that you can identify that would help people if they carried them around with them every time they wrote some copy?
Yeah, and I'm going to take the approach as if they're writing copy for themselves. Is that okay?
Yeah, because that's what we're all doing when we can't afford. And let me say, when we think we can't afford, because it turns out you make a lot more money if you hire a copywriter. That's, maybe we can get to that in a minute. But when they think they can't afford to hire a copywriter, that's where everybody starts.
Okay, so number one is, I get this in a lot of reviews and critiques. It's not being the guide in the copy. And the one thing that I see the most is people, they have this product, they're so passionate about it. It's super helpful and people need it. But what we do is we sometimes become the hero of that story. And I know that sounds generic, and I know that sounds repetitive. If you went to anyone's that's got an online marketing, especially over at StoryBrand with Donald Miller, they teach people how to become a guide in your message. And the biggest problem that we have is we are so close to our business. We're so comfortable with talking about it, and we know so much about it. We forget that the people that we're trying to sell it to, they are the hero of this. Like, they need to save the day. We are just giving them an avenue to realize that they need this thing that they want emotionally first and then justify it with logical later. So be careful about how you're positioning your message. Lay out the benefits for how it's going to help the person that's buying this, or the customer that's, you know, interested in what you have to offer or say before they do make a buy. Because a lot of people are going to pull the, what Gary Bensavinga calls the two most important words in marketing is, yeah, sure. Because everyone's going to read yours, your copy or your ad and think, ah, that won't work for me. Or, yeah, sure. Yeah, I can melt 10 pounds of fat off my body in 20 days. Yeah, sure. We've all been there.
Right.
And you have to overcome that. And the best way to overcome that is, you know, with social proof. Hey, I was once where you are, and let me tell you how I got out of that. And, you know, there's so many different ways I could go down that rabbit hole of how you construct that. But always position yourself as a guide in your message, and you're helping that prospect or that client or that customer win the day of their journey to buy whatever it is you're selling. Okay, so we get trapped in the bottle trying to read the label sometimes, and that will get us in trouble. Number two is, know who you're selling to. Sell them what they want, not what they need. That's very basic also, but these are principles. This is like pitch and catch, man. Like, field the ball, throw the ball, catch the ball. Okay? If you can't do that, you can't win baseball games. If you don't know who you're writing to, and you don't know who your target market is or your customer, if you don't know what they want, you're going to have a lot of tough, you're going to have some tough times trying to sell it to them.
Can I ask you a question around this? So I understand exactly what you're saying about knowing what your customer wants. Can you just touch a little bit on the ways that you use to find out what they want?
So research, and because of the internet, we have an abundance of research. You know, back in the old days, I'm kind of a copywriting nerd, so I've studied how the old guys used to do it, or the legends, and they had to go to like the library. You know what I'm saying? They had to go and look at actual resources, set and read books about certain things, and that still works today. I still recommend doing that. But go to a Facebook group or get on a page, get on a forum. You can use Google for keywords that you're trying to figure out what your audience may be talking about. There's so many resources that join the conversation that they're already having. And once you do that, if you've got a community, throw some feedback bait out there on what they think of some ideas that you might be coming up with, and get feedback from the source. Get feedback from the people you're going to be selling. I mean, copywriting is 80% research, and maybe even more research. But in the writing part, once you know what you're going to say and once you know what they want, it's really just structuring that in a persuasive, you know, conversation like you and I are having right now, to get them to think to themselves, I need to try this, or I need to part ways with my email because I really want that free thing, because I would actually pay money for it and all I got to do is get my email. It seems like such a simple concept, but we have everything we need to be good copywriters, right there at the tip of our fingers to go and just look and spend the time researching and really getting to know our clientele, what they like, what they don't like, what they need, what they want, and addressing those challenges and curiosities in the structure of words. The next thing I would probably want people to identify with is the voice. Okay, everyone always worries about, I can't find my voice, whether it's video, which is copy, by the way, whether it's a keynote, which is copy, anything you're doing to try to get someone to do something, it's copy. Everything's copy. And here's my tip for that. Talk. Just talk.
Just talk.
Record what you're saying. Just talk. Record what you're saying, and there you go. There's your voice. Don't overcomplicate it. Don't be too informational.
Right, because sometimes we think just because we're writing copy or making a presentation, we have to change into something. We're not a professor, a teacher, or whatever. You're saying that your voice is can be the voice that you use every day.
Absolutely. Because if you ever establish a voice and it's not your voice and you figure out, wow, I don't talk like that, and then you change it, people won't be able to resonate with it because now you've got a different voice. So, and if someone's listening that is a copywriter, listen to how the person you're writing copy for, how they talk. How do they talk to their customers? How they talk to their clients? Because as a copywriter, that's the first thing that I really try to figure out is, how does this person resonate with the people they are selling to? And how do the people they're selling to respond to it? And I think a lot of people looking for a copywriter, if any of those people are out there looking, listening to this podcast, make sure that they can identify with your voice. And the best way to do that is get on the phone with them.
Right.
Let them hear you talk. Interview them. And I got this information from Matt Fury, by the way. And if you ever want to go listen to a really stud copywriter, he's got a video or a YouTube channel, and he has a great email list. I advocate for as many people to go learn from as many copywriters as possible. So, you know, establishing your voice, keeping it consistent, and just present it as if you were setting, as John Carlton would say, at a bar with your friend, and they asked you, what do you do? How would you tell them? You're not going to turn into an encyclopedia or Wikipedia or some literarian to tell them, are you? No, you're just going to tell them like you and I are talking right now.
Awesome. Okay. So now let's get to this topic that I mentioned just a minute ago, which is one of the things that I hear when people need help with copy is they say, I can't afford a copywriter. And I know as a professional copywriter, this must be the number one objection that you hear. What do you tell people? I mean, you're not trying to sell anything here, obviously, so you can just really tell it like it is. What's your personal experience with this whole issue of the cost of copywriters and the ROI on professionally written copy?
Well, I think we have to look at this as what you just said it is, ROI. And some people have this quick win mentality, which I'm pretty sure you can validate with your business, there's no such thing as a quick win.
Right.
If you want a quick win, go spend all your money on a lottery, not a copywriter. Because that's the only way you're going to win quick, and chances are you're not going to get that either. You know, the price justification is a huge issue with probably many copywriters that aren't highly touted, that can't say, oh yeah, well, my last, like Ray Edwards, I write sales letters for $150,000. He puts it right out there. Okay. And that's great because he can say that. As someone like, for me, I don't write sales letters for $150,000.
If I offered you $150,000, you would write a sales letter for me, right? Yeah. Okay. Just want to get that out there.
Yeah, anyone out there that's got that issue, go ahead and hit me up.
Give me a call.
I'll give you my phone number after this is done. As a copywriter trying to justify your price, or if you're out there looking for a copywriter and you're trying to justify their price, think to yourself, what do I want to happen to make this a success? Maybe it's $1 million launch. Maybe it's, I want this sales letter to generate $50,000 for me this year. Okay, let's use $100,000 as a nice round number. If I walked into your house invited and said, Mark, I'll give you $100,000 if you give me $10,000, what would you say?
A deal, and how many can I have?
Done deal, right? So as a business owner, if you called me and said, Rusty, I need a copywriter, write this sales page or this direct mailer, and it's going to go to X amount of people, here's what I'm hoping to make off this. And I said, 10 grand. People usually buckle and go, holy crap, I thought this was going to be like 1500 bucks.
Right.
Well, you told me that you want $100,000. But what I'm telling you, you would justify if I said, if I know that we can make $100,000, and you can't guarantee anything. I mean, good copy can't save a bad product.
Right.
But I think as a business owner, you got to start putting this in perspective, because we all want that ROI. And you got to be careful when you approach a copywriter and you know you've kind of talked about, hopefully they ask, you know, what's the outcome you want? And you're honest with them because you want the best outcome for their business. And when you're dealing with a pro, you've got to understand there's going to be an investment made, and it can't be guaranteed, because as a copywriter, I'm only writing the words. Okay, you're paying me $10,000 to do something you either don't have time for or you can't do. And how I justify that is, how long are you going to put up with that? Okay, so if it's not very long, then let's get the deal done, and we'll move on and work on your copy, and let's launch this thing and see what the direct results are. And that's the biggest thing that, you know, a lot of people have a tough time parting with their money, is because there's not a guarantee on it, but neither is driving to work. So when you're dealing with a copywriter, make sure they're asking the right questions to justify the price they're throwing out there. You'll be able to know pretty quick based on looking at a few samples. Who are they endorsed by or certified by? Who's giving them testimonials? Is that valid? Can you, you know, justify the price based on what they're talking about with the conversation of how they're going to sell you that service? So, you know, there's to name the right price, whether it be a blog post. I don't do those. I don't really know. If it's an email, you know, anywhere from 75 to maybe sometimes if it's a certain type of email and it's a certain time on, it could cost you $500 an email.
Right.
There's a broad range depending on, just like anything else, the expertise, the experience, and probably the proof that, you know, you're going to get good copy and then you fill in the gaps. You know, I think this is going in a direction also of, you have a responsibility as a business owner to work with your copywriter to make your investment worth it as well.
Right. It's not like it's fire and forget, you write the check and walk away, right? Right. This is a partnership between you and the copywriter to make something work.
David Garfinkel, one of the best copy reviewers and copywriters coaches, he's considered the best copywriting coach in the world today, has an episode called Copywriting is a Team Sport. And he doesn't talk about the client business owner relationship. What he talks about is, as a copywriter, and I do this as well, I want someone to look at my copy and review it. That is a peer and a pro at copywriting, because I've got blind spots. Just like a piece of copy, I read the same thing over and over again. I'm tweaking it. I'm editing it. I might rewrite it 3 or 4 times. And by the time I'm done with it, I'm sick of looking at it. I need someone else to take a peek. And that's included in my price. You're not only getting your copy looked at by me and written, I'm giving it to another pro,
right,
to make sure it's good for you. So to really justify that price, ask what their process is. What are they going to do to make sure that they help you win? I mean, as a copywriter, that's how I view it. And that's why I think being a pro baseball player and that standard of excellence and performance and discipline and principles seg very nicely with copywriting, because it is a team sport. And I hope people win, because if they win, they make money, and it makes my copy look good and makes my services look good. And ultimately it helps businesses grow and helps the world altogether.
Awesome. So let's shift gears a little bit here. I want you to tell me, you've got some exciting stuff coming down the pike, and I know I want to talk a little bit about this new podcast that you've got coming out. What's that going to be all about? Where can people find you if they want to hear more about what you're doing? Maybe they want to work with you. Give me the whole kind of Rusty Ryle universe here. What's going on?
So right now I'm developing a few online courses. The first one's going to be free. It's going to be the Copywriting Fast Track. And I've developed a framework that actually I'm going to give you a deal once I explain this. It's going to help you structure and fundamentally put together, whether it's a sales letter, a sales page, a sales email, a Facebook ad. It's going to help you structure that and really get the concepts of how to develop maybe your first sales message. For those of you that struggle or maybe have things out of sequence, it's going to help you develop that to really go out and make some cash with your first piece of copy or maybe an edited piece of copy. So I'm developing that. I'm putting together the course and the slide decks and the workbook right now for it, because really what I've done till now is just services. Basically, you know, if you come to my website, you click the button and want to schedule a call, it'll shoot me an email and we'll get on the horn and I'll give you 15 minutes and we'll go over what you want, what you're looking for and how I can help. And typically that leads into send me some samples or maybe you're my guy and we go from there and we negotiate, not too much negotiation because I'm pretty firm on pricing right away, but ultimately I will critique some copy from now and then so I can help you on that side of the fence. I can also consult you direct response wise, whether it's launching a product and you want to launch that and have a system that is put together the correct way to get from opt-in to, you know, retargeting emails after you maybe launched the product. Maybe view how you're using your email marketing right now to fill any gaps you may have on how often you're doing it. Are you doing it enough to communicate? Are people you're emailing in the right mind frame to buy from you? Are you even asking them to buy from you with your email? So there's some consulting side to my business that I can teach direct response marketing principles to that I use with my copy and my clients, because inevitably if you write copy for someone, you kind of become their consultant because you've got to tell them how to use it. And then obviously you got the deliverables where it's like, hey, I need a sales page and here's what I want it to do and here's when it's going to launch, and we set up a timetable. So I've got a delivered service for that. As far as the podcast goes, I'm going to have the host of this podcast, Mark Mason, on an episode.
Awesome. As well as I love that cool guy.
Yeah, he's cool. He's cool. Even though he's from Texas, he's cool. I'm from Oklahoma, for those of you that don't know. There's a big grudge there. Anyways, except for me and Mark. What I'm hoping to do is exactly what you're doing is, you know, let's touch on some messaging. I want to help people become better copywriters as my mentor and the people before me who's established this awesome career all the way back to Claude Hopkins. I mean, I can do this till I'm 85 years old if I wanted to and I'm in good health and can read and write or even talk. How cool is that as a career? I want to shed some light on just some topics like we're talking about today, some ways to hit a home run with your message. Some ways to drive in some cash to your business, just like the conversations we're having right now. And I'm going to have people that, are pretty well known in the online space come on and give their two cents. I'm going to have a lot of interviews because I don't know everything. I don't want to know everything and get some real expertise on my show to help people build an online business or even other copywriters to give a different angle on how they help people craft their messages to sell more stuff, and ultimately how to just be a champion at life and live a prosperous life that you want to live. So I think I was at an event the other day and Jeff Walker mentioned, you know, if you're doing an online business, you've got to have a development piece to that, because so many people are starving for that and need the development piece and hear your story and how your struggles and your strengths can help them develop as well.
Absolutely. I love that. So that said, where can we find you?
Very simple. RustyRile.com. And here's the big bonus, the grand slam guarantee I'm going to give you. Okay.
All right. Let's hear it.
So listeners out there. Okay. If you email me the first five, I'm keeping dibs on this super tight. There will only be five and I will tell Mark who they are, because he's going to send you a t-shirt. You still got some of those t-shirts?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So you're willing to part with five t-shirts. I just put you on the spot.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm going to give a copy review for free for the first five people that email me at rusty@rustyrile.com. Mark, if you do, you're not, that won't count as five. I'll do six.
Awesome.
And what I'll do is, if it's a sales page, if it's more than probably five pages, I'm going to ask you to send me something else, but let's keep it friendly. Let's try to keep it under 1500 words, and I'll give you some feedback, and hopefully that will help you craft a message that will make you cash real quick.
That is an amazing offer. Thank you, sir.
So put my email in the show notes, and if that's safe, I will probably go ahead and get that done with Rusty at RustyRyle.com.
That is awesome. Thank you very much, sir. Well, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you, absolute expert, genius copywriter, and former Major League Baseball player, Rusty Ryle. Thank you so much for being on the show today. I really appreciate it. I know everyone is going to be in a lot better place from a copywriting standpoint based on the stuff you've shared today. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me. It's been a blast, Mark.
All right. All right. So that was Rusty. You heard all that. You got the information that you need in order to get that stuff that Rusty's offering. I highly recommend the first few of you that get to that and can do that. It's going to be awesome. Until next week, I hope you have an absolutely fantastic week. And for those of you that don't know, in my show, after the music fades out, I always have a segment that's a hidden segment, a special segment that has nothing to do with internet marketing. That's always something else. Sometimes it's funny, or at least I think it's funny. Stay tuned for that, because Rusty and I talk about baseball after the music fades out. Ciao.
You can do it right when it's late at night.
You've been listening to the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
Be sure to visit latenightpodcast.com today to leave feedback for Mark. Download special bonus content, access the show notes, and more. See you there.
Until then, go and make some great progress on your internet business. One night at a time.
One night at a time.
Okay, so my listeners, they know I'm a baseball nut. They know I have a 12-year-old baseball nut. And now they're going to know that you have kids that play baseball. You played Major League Baseball. Your dad played Major League Baseball. But here's the thing I want to know about, okay? When you were a Major League Baseball, you took Randy Johnson deep. I got to hear about that. You got to tell me that story. What in the heck? Who takes the unit deep for a home run?
Just a regular small town boy from Oklahoma.
Now, do you remember like the pitch count and what was going on? And I mean, do you remember that day? You must remember that.
Well, yeah. In fact, I didn't know this until later, but I was the last person to hit a home run off Randy Johnson, What's crazy is I wasn't even going to keep the ball. They brought it to me like, you need to keep this. You hit a home run off a Hall of Famer. Keep it. And what's nuts is I got the ball, and it's the last one I ever gave up. Now, we're talking about a guy that's known for striking people out.
Yes.
So what it was like, I can tell you right now, if you've ever stood next to someone that's 6'10", it's pretty intimidating.
Right.
And then you stand, you know, 60 feet away from the guy who's known to throw 100 miles an hour. It makes it a little bit more intense.
Not and he's that, standing on a mound of dirt, by the way.
Yeah. So now he's 7'4". Okay. Maybe even taller. And it's against, you know, I'm with the Diamondbacks at the time, and that was like the team he won a World Series with, and did a lot of great things in his major league career. And I will give him a little bit of credit. It was towards the end of his career. So he's only throwing 93 to 94, not 104. But still, he had some game, or he wouldn't have been out there. You know, what's interesting about not just that at bat, but just being in the major leagues was a dream I had since I was a little kid. You wouldn't be – I mean, anyone that goes out there, especially like Wrigley Field or Fenway Park or, I mean, even the Diamondback Stadium, there's just this aura about it that's so cool. I mean, there were people I was playing against that when I was in college, I looked up to these guys. Like, I was in awe watching them play. And going up against Randy Johnson was something I had never done, even crossing paths in spring training. Being in the minor leagues, sometimes they'd bring us up to face some of the major league pitchers because they could dominate us and they wouldn't have to try real hard and get the confidence up. But I can remember that the count, he tried to throw two sliders down and in, and I spit on him, which means I took them.
Right.
For those people that don't know literary. Yes.
Okay. Right. Terms. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, he's got to throw a fastball and I'm going to drill this thing 400 feet. And I did.
So you're sitting 2-0, mm-hmm. you're sitting fastball in a 2-0 count and yep. he threw you a fastball.
Threw me a fastball. And as any major league hitter should, and even those 12-year-olds, 8-year-olds that aren't major league hitters, pick a pitch, sit on it, and don't miss it. And I didn't, and the ball went out, touched home plate, and everyone came up. And see, here's the thing. The team I'm playing with, remember, he was a legend. So everyone was super stoked that I hit a home run off of him. But, you know, I kind of took a president business approach when I hit home runs. Like, I can't act all happy because I got to act like I've been here before. But that one, I smiled a little bit about, and it was an awesome experience. I mean, just getting a base hit in the major league was cool. So, I mean, even some of the strikeouts I had were pretty cool too, just because of who did it. I mean, like Pedro Martinez, I mean, the late Roy Halladay. I mean, I got dominated by some pretty good guys.
That's awesome.
Late night internet marketing.
Hey, it's Mark again. I wanted to tell you one more time about this absolutely free resource that I have for helping people who are trying to get the big picture for internet marketing, actually get started and understand what all their choices are. If that's not you, there's no more content. You can skip to the end. But if you're someone who came to this podcast because you're searching for how to get started online and you just can't cut through all the noise, I get it. That was me. In 2007, when I was trying to get started, there were so many people throwing offers at me that I really couldn't even understand what all the different business models were. I couldn't understand how money moved around on the internet. And I couldn't really get a grip on what direction I wanted to go in so I could figure out how to move forward. I've created a free video resource for you just for that purpose at latenightim.com/explain. In several short videos, I just explained to you what internet marketing is all about and what online business is all about and the different options that you have for starting an online business. There's nothing to buy there. You just sign up for access and you get the videos just like that. So if that's interesting to you, or if you know someone who's in a same situation, send them that link, latenightim.com/explain. And let me know what you think. I'd love to hear what people are thinking that are in the exact same position that I was in more than a decade ago in 2007. In some ways, it seems like yesterday. And in some ways, it seems like an entire lifetime ago. Again, that's latenightim.com/explain.
Late night internet marketing.